1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. Well, the first series is in the books. Things did not go the Mariners' way last night as they drop the third game to the Angels. Although I do have a comforting number for you coming up in just a second. We'll start with that. We'll recap the game from last night. We'll hear from Nelson Cruz, who was up in a big situation in the eighth. We'll hear from Brad Miller, who had a home run last night. Of course, we'll hear from the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, his thoughts on the game. Also, the commissioner, new commissioner at the ballpark last night, Rick Riz, Aaron Goldsmith, a chance to talk to him. So that's coming up. And also, Tyler Olson, two nights ago, making his major league debut, throwing one pitch. Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with him. Really good stuff there from local product, Tyler Olson. So that's coming up. Also, the Mariners have big Nelson Cruz in the middle of the order now. They had a Cruz back in the day as well. That was a big part of this team. Dave Niehaus, a great feature on Julio Cruz. Cruiser, that's at the end of the podcast. I think you'll enjoy that as well. But Mariners fall 5-3, so they lose the series. Off day today, so in tomorrow's podcast we'll focus in on the A's and the Oakland A's coming up over the weekend. So off day today as the Mariners now 1-2 on the season. I always think this is the most difficult time of year in that it's hard not to overreact or react in a strong way to anything that goes on when you're just three games in, because you only have three games to look at. You know, you lose a tough series in the middle of the season, 2 of 3, and it just blends in with everything else. It's just three games. It's easier to look at it like that. It's more difficult to look at it like that when you're just three games in. But really, it is just three games. And the number that sticks out, the last six AL West winners, only the 2011 Texas Rangers have actually won the first series of the season. So, Mariner fans, that should be a comforting number. They have not lost the division because of the first three games of the season. No fear. Last night was tough in that Asashi Wakuma just did not have his control early on against the Angels, and they made him pay.
Trout will lead at first, and the pitch swung on. Well hit ball deep to left field, and this one is out of here into the upper deck. Fair ball. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes. Albert Pujols just shoots one out of a cannon. Just fair into the upper deck down the left field line, right above the Edgar's sign.
Home run there for Pujols. Angels put four runs on the board in the first. They tack on one more in the second, so five in the first two innings. Defense also didn't help out Iwakuma in the first, but he just didn't have his command early. But like a veteran pitcher does or can do, at a guy at his level, he settled in, and he settled in a big way. Considering the bullpen was up early in the game, the fact that he gave the Mariners six innings and they didn't have to burn through everybody is huge. So he ends up going six, gives up four earned runs, gave up five runs in the first two, but settled in and not only saved the bullpen, but gave the Mariners a chance to win the ball game, and they did start to come back.
Here comes the pitch. Miller swings, lifts it high, deep right field. A lot of carry, and this is gone. Brad Miller sends it deep out to right field, his first round tripper of the season, and that was thumped with some power. Mariners on the scoreboard. It's 5-1 Angels, bottom of the third.
Brad Miller checking in with a home run there, and after the game, he talked about, you know, the loss to the Angels and that home run.
I definitely think, you know, once we got behind early, you know, we knew Kuma was going to settle in and keep us in the game, which he did. And like you said, yeah, it's a different feel. I mean, you know, we know, okay, even in the eighth when we didn't you know, Smith kind of bared down and made some good pitches. We're like, hey, we got one more shot, and, you know, we'll try to do something in the ninth instead of kind of being like, oh, woe is us, you know, that was our chance, you know. So, yeah, definitely a lot of fight in this team.
Fred, adjustments coming back from spring training and getting out on the field. I mean, how?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, kind of towards the end of spring, it's, you know, you're ready for this. You know, it's hot down there, and coming up here to a home opener, it makes it really easy to kind of get excited and get up for it. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, you really don't have to think about it too much. You get out there and you can feed off the crowd a little bit.
First inning, it looked like the shift was on when that ball kind of gets by you.
That's
different to be in that position.
You know, I mean, it's something now you're seeing a lot more of, I think, especially with, you know, lefties that are showing their hitting the ball on the ground to that side. And, yeah, usually, you know, with us there, you know, I kind of got the front and he's got the back, and he just kind of hit it right in between us, kind of a tweener all around. So obviously would have liked to have that one, but he put it in a good spot.
The home run today, that.
Yeah, it felt good. You know, like I said, he was really cruising there, throwing a lot of strikes and getting ahead early, and honestly just kind of wanted to get something going, turn it around and get something going. So after that, I think we put a couple more good swings on it and put a little pressure on him.
This is a guy that's been really tough on you guys. I know it's been a limited time, but you've got to take something from that as a team that you did get a few runs on.
No question. He's a good pitcher. He, you know, he works quick and is able to, you know, throw a couple different pitches for strikes. And, you know, so I think they're a good team, obviously. So you got to battle and really kind of put, you know, three or four good at-bats together.
And the Mariners weren't done either. Kyle Seager, his first hit of the season, and it was a big one.
Shoemaker the pause and the pitch to Seager. Swing and a drive high right field. This has some distance. It's got some giddy up, and it's gone. Kyle Seager, his first hit of the season, a two-run shot, and it comes with two outs here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
So the Mariners get two more in the sixth, so it's 5-3 at that point, and then they really start to make some noise in the eighth inning. And it looked like the Mariners had a chance to make it happen. Ackley reached on an infield single to lead off the inning. Cano would double, so runners on second and third, and nobody down. Nelson Cruz would strike out. Seager intentionally walked. Smith, the righty, kind of the sidewinder, had no intention to pitch to Kyle Seager in that situation. Weeks would strike out, so that left the bases loaded. Two outs. Last open the inning was Logan Morrison.
The stretch and the pitch. Fastball swing and a fly ball into shallow right center field, but on the run is Trout, and he's there to make the catch. And that will retire the side, and Joe Smith gets out of a bases-loaded jam.
So a golden opportunity for the Mariners in that inning. They couldn't come through. Houston Street comes up in the ninth, and he goes 1-2-3 in the ninth and closes down his second save of the season. And that was it for the M's. They fall 5-3, a tough loss and a tough series loss. Nelson Cruz talked about that situation. He came up in a big one, a chance to do damage. Talked about it after the game.
I mean, I tried to do my best battle, you know. Hopefully, next game I had the same chance, you know.
What are you looking for in that situation?
Something that I can drive. I mean, at least get scored one run, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times when guys come over with a new team, early on, I think we saw this with Robbie last year, they try maybe a little too much. Are you there yet right now, or do you not think that's the case?
No, I think, you know, you always try, you know. I mean, I don't think that's not the case, you know. I always try, and I mean, it don't matter what situation you are, you try to deliver, you know, and new thing you want to impress, you know. But like I said, hopefully next game I got a chance to same situation, I can deliver, you know.
I mean, sometimes guys expand the zone a little bit because you want it so much. I mean, Smith, everything's kind of moving anyways. Do you feel like you're doing that a little bit?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he threw me pitches there probably outside the zone, you know, swinging. I mean, there should be more pressure in that situation.
And the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, he talked about this one as well.
He was up in the zone a lot first couple of innings. Just couldn't quite seem to get it down, and they took advantage of it. And we didn't help him, you know, a couple of plays that we probably should have made.
Was he able to throw the splitter?
Yeah, other than being up, yeah. He threw it great later, yeah. I think he settled down, finally found his groove, and threw the ball pretty good. He actually saved us. You know, he gave us six innings, so.
Had a shot against Shoemaker and then their bullpen. Just
yeah.
Hit short.
Yeah, you know, listen, my guys really, really grinded some at-bats out tonight. They really fought back. We just came up a little short. You know, but I was very proud of the way they went about the business tonight.
So much has been talked about you guys over the winter, how much you improved. It seems like the Angels, people kind of forgot about them last year, and they won the division.
You asked me the question yesterday. They're a good ball club. They had more wins than anybody in baseball last year, so we certainly don't take them lightly. I thought we played extremely well against them last year. We played well this series, you know. There's a lot more baseball to be had, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, you know, all it takes is one, and hopefully he's found his groove now.
And one last thing before we move on, something we should talk about in the first series. The bullpen has looked outstanding once again, and Carson Smith, he was eye-popping last night.
And the 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. Carson Smith strikes out Johnny Giavotella, and that will retire the side. The Angels leave two runners stranded here in the top of the eighth inning. And that kid from Dallas, Texas, Mr. Smith, you are something.
Yeah, an inning and two-thirds, no hits, no runs, one walk, three punch-outs. His stuff is electric. Farquhar came in, pitched a clean inning as well, and fanned one. And the bullpen has looked very strong to start the season once again. And I think clearly, as we've talked about, going to be a strength for this team. So that's a good sign moving forward as well. So the Mariners drop Series 1 of the season. And we'll talk about the series against the A's coming up in the podcast tomorrow. Right now, though, hear from the new commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, as Aaron Goldsmith and Rick Riz. Chance to sit down with the new commissioner.
Well, as the Mariners get ready to take on the Angels tonight, final game of the three-game series, very special guest, the commissioner of the great game of baseball, Mr. Rob Manfred, joins us here on the pregame show. Mr. Commissioner, welcome to Seattle. Tell us a little bit about your visit to Seattle. You're going around all 30 clubs. You visit a lot of the clubs at spring training. What's your message to the Mariners here in the Pacific Northwest and the other 29 clubs?
Well, I got about 15 during spring training. It was ambitious to think I was going to get 30, so I've continued on during the regular season. With each club, I've done a couple of things. Most important, I met with the players, tried to talk to them a little bit about our Pace of Game initiative, how important I think that is, talked to them a little bit about our marketing efforts with respect to the game, but most importantly, just giving them a chance to get to know me and who I am and how I think about the game.
We know that, or at least we'd like to think that the Mariners have some pretty thoughtful, inquisitive guys on their 25-man roster. What was your visit like in the Mariners clubhouse?
I will tell you, it was the hottest clubhouse I have had so far. They absolutely led the league in questions. Had Jack Zirincek not rescued me from my next appointment, I think I'd still be down there. But you know what? It was great. They asked great, thoughtful questions. I hope I gave them decent answers. They seemed to be interested in what I had to say, and I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Well, let's talk about pace of play, because it's something high on your list, and would love to see, you know, the action get closer together in the course of the ball game. It's been only two games in the major league season. We looked at it at spring training, but yesterday I saw Adrian Beltre take a pitch, step out of the box, and jump back in with both feet at the same time. So the guys are aware. Where do you want to see it go from here?
Well, first of all, I have to say the level of cooperation we've gotten from our players has been absolutely outstanding, commendable, could not be better. I do not have a goal in terms of game time in mind. What I'd like to have happen is smart baseball people in August and September write, you know what, they made a reasonable set of changes, the players were really cooperative, and the game was just a little crisper this year than it was last year. That's what I'm looking for.
Mr. Commissioner, based on some of your comments from earlier today, it sounds like you have a really pretty good relationship with Mariners Club President Kevin Mather. How far back do you two go?
I've known Kevin virtually from when I got started in the game in 1987. We really got to be friendly during the 93-94 negotiations. He was on a subcommittee of CFOs. He was with the Twins at that time, and we spent the vast majority of that 262-day strike together. And, you know, it's sort of a bonding experience you don't forget. But, you know, Kevin's done a great job. You know, he's worked his way up in the game. I think he's done a great job here in Seattle, and I've always been a big fan of his.
Yeah, Kevin's doing a great job here. Labor peace, visiting with Commissioner Rob Manfred. Labor peace over the last 22 years. Bud Selig, Donald Fear. And I tell you what, it's not just two figures behind the scenes. It's a village. Tell me a little bit about going forward, about the labor peace, to keep that ball rolling like it has for so long, Rob.
Well, I think the key for us is over a very long period of time under Commissioner Selig's leadership, we try to build a deep relationship with the Players Association. So it wasn't just about did Rob Manfred have a good relationship with Mike Weiner, but instead it was a series of individuals and a series of relationships. Now, we've had some really sad and unfortunate change at the top of the Players Association with Michael's passing, but we have a great relationship with Tony as well. And, you know, we're going to have our differences, but we have learned over time to find creative solutions to those differences, and I think we'll do it again in 2016.
You've been on record as saying, and this isn't one of those bad things, when the commissioner gets told that, you might sweat a little bit, but you've been on record saying that the best perk about being commissioner is having your signature on the baseball. So take us through the day when they knocked on your door in your new office and they said, Mr. Commissioner, we need to have your official signature to put on every single baseball in Major League Ball.
Well, it was it actually was something that really caught me off guard, because it literally happened the first day I was back in the office after the election. I wasn't quite ready for this. And so group of our licensing people show up with a set of index cards and a mitt full of pens, and they make you write your name until you find the pen and the signature that they think looks good and that you agree actually looks like your signature. You actually have to spend some time at it. They then make mock-ups of several of them. They actually manufacture baseballs. You know, five, I think they did, with different signatures on it. I got to pick which of the five I liked the best, and then the balls are manufactured from there. But it's interesting. You know, you get used to the idea that your name's on the ball, and obviously I've been signing balls and get requests for signed balls and whatnot. But I was in Washington the other day, and I walked out to throw the first pitch, and I looked down at the baseball, and it happened to be name up. And I looked at it, and I'm thinking, my God, there's a stadium full of people. They're going to play baseball with this ball that has my name on it. You know, I mean,
I'll tell you what, that is pretty cool. Commissioner, thank you so much for coming to Seattle, spending some time with us. Big shoes to fill. You're going to do a great job as the new commissioner of the game of baseball, the ninth commissioner of the game of baseball. We wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed being here, and it's great to be in Seattle. Really great.
Commissioner of Baseball, Mr. Rob Manfred.
Good stuff there. Tyler Olson made his Major League debut a couple of games ago. Also pitched last night, went two-thirds of an inning, gave up a hit and a walk, but they were able to squirrel out of trouble. So he had to throw nine pitches in the game last night, as opposed to the one in his Major League debut where he got two outs on one swing of the bat. But Shannon Dreher talked with the Mariners reliever who made his Major League debut a couple of nights ago.
Tyler, it was great to see you make your debut last night. You wake up yesterday morning. Did you have any idea you'd be getting into that game?
I mean, I had a little bit of an idea just because of the guys that we used before, and I knew that I hadn't thrown live in, I think, 6 or 7 days. So I knew I had a shot, but, I mean, at all times you got to be ready, and that's kind of something that I'm learning being in the bullpen, that any situation you got to be ready for. So to actually hear my name be called was almost like a dream come true.
You hear your name called, you get up, you do your warm-up pitches. What's going through your mind then?
Don't throw it over the catcher's head. You know, the biggest thing that I've, you know, heard from the guys and learned is just to breathe. You know, you get out there and it's nothing different. I mean, just bigger crowd, bigger arena, but at the same time, you're still out there pitching. So you go out there, you know the feeling, so it's just a matter of executing.
What do you take from that night?
I'll never forget it. You know, it's something that, you know, you lay in bed at night and you dream about, and something that I've worked for a really long time to accomplish. And so to have that come true is just really, like I said, a dream come true.
So you're getting ready to go in, and this is different from spring training. You have scouting reports. You have guys you can ask about the hitter that you're facing. How much did you use that, and what was your plan going in?
I think at this point, just because I'm so new, I'm really relying on Mike, to get me through. He knows the hitters. He's been in the game a lot longer than I have. And so I'm just kind of trusting, what he has. If we're in a situation where I feel like I can get a guy with a different pitch, I may shake or call him out and discuss the pitch. But right now I'm really just relying on him and his knowledge of the hitters in the game.
I was so impressed with you early on in camp, not just for what you did on the field, but when you told me your plan coming in. I mean, you had some very specific things that you wanted to do in spring training and a readiness that you wanted to be before you even threw your first pitch down there.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the more, ready you can be for, any situation you're put into, the better result you're going to have. And so I do, a lot of pre-game preparation where, mentally I put myself in certain situations and just get the feeling of what do I do to get out of those situations. So in my mind, I've been in those situations a lot, and so when I actually get out there, I don't panic and let my nerves get the best of me, because I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous last night. I mean, I had a lot of emotions, a lot of excitement, butterflies and everything, but it just comes down to I've prepped for it, and so it's a matter of executing.
I know everybody in Spokane was watching. What do you think this meant to your former teammates, your former team, Gonzaga? How much of a part are they of what you're doing right now?
They're just all extremely happy. I mean, I received a lot of text messages last night, a lot of phone calls, just congratulations on what I accomplished. The thing that's nice for me is I left something behind with, former teammates of mine that, my work ethic can get you to where you want to be. And so to have guys say stuff like that to me is really more meaningful than actually being here, to know that I left something behind for, people to work for, that it doesn't matter where, you came from or how much talent you have, but if you work hard and you have a good work ethic, the roof is the limit.
You are walking, living proof of that, and a great example at that. One last question for you. I tell people I'm not entirely convinced that you're left-handed. Do you have any left-handed tendencies whatsoever?
I would probably have to agree with you. I mean, I'm actually ambidextrous. The only thing I do left-handed is throw a baseball and shoot a basketball. Everything else is right-handed. I eat, brush my teeth, do everything right-handed. I kick a ball right-footed. So that's a little funky, but I think it makes me normal.
You're still in that pen. It might rub off on you. I'm just warning you. On that note, is there a backpack?
Yes, I wear and own the pink backpack.
Okay. Is there a character on it?
I think it's Peepo or Peppo or something like that. I don't even know. I've never even heard about it, but it's definitely, it's fun.
All right. We'll put a picture on Twitter sometime soon. Tyler, thank you so much. And again, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, before we go, one last thing. This is fun. I don't think I've played this on a podcast before, but it's Dave Niehaus who put together a feature on Julio Cruz, the former speedster, middle infielder for the Mariners. So good at stealing bases in his day. You hear him on the podcast once in a while. He's on the Spanish broadcast for the Mariners. Here it is, Dave Niehaus, Julio Cruz.
Julio Cruz, Juice, the Cruiser. He was quite a ball player for the early Mariners. Julio anchored down second base from 1977, the first year of the franchise, until June the 15th of 1983, when he was traded to the White Sox for Tony Bernazard. And with the White Sox, he helped Chicago in their run for the American League West flag that year. But while he was a Mariner, oh, how he could play. Who can forget the dazzling fielding plays? A Mariner record 11 putouts in an extra inning game in 1981. Also turned a club record 5 double plays in that game. And it was the Cruiser who gobbled up the final out in Gaylord Perry's 300th win. But most of all, it was his base running for which we will remember Julio. His 290 steals as a Mariner are club record. But he's in the American League record book for his 32 consecutive steals from September of 1980 until June the 11th of 81. Number 32 came in a game against the Orioles.
Pitch on the way to Bakke as Cruz goes. It's outside. Throw through to second is not in time. He's tied the record. Julio Cruz has stolen 32 in a row. And it wasn't that bad a throw by Dempsey as Cruz went in head first. It may have hit Cruz or the bag and gone into center field. And Mr. Julio Cruz has tied the all-time American League record 32 consecutive steals, and 28 straight this year. My, oh, my.
Well, Julio went on to steal 343 bases in his career and had a season high of 59 in 1978 that was a Mariners club record until Harold Reynolds swiped a league-leading 60 in 1987. Julio Cruz truly provided us with many Mariner memories. For the Mariners Saturday Magazine, I'm Dave Niehaus.
See you later!